What's up, y'all? It's B Dangerous back again with another edition of Dangerous Sports Talk. Yes, those of you who were concerned, I've been absent. After the NBA Finals, I'm like, okay, look, I don't have to constantly keep doing shows, keep doing shows, keep doing shows, because I know my core audience is still going to be here no matter how long I'm going for. So I took a little break to work, relax. But I have not taken my nose out of sports, okay? So I had to write my notes down, get everything together, because we have a lot of shit to get into. But before we do any of that, please follow me on Instagram and Twitter at TheBDangerous. Also, follow this very podcast you're listening to right now, Dangerous Sports Talk, on Spotify. And also follow the Dangerous Sports Talk, the Facebook page as well, because I know the likes are still running up over there as well. Yeah, let's get right into it. What can we talk about first? Oh, this was like maybe a week ago or so. So, the disgraced former Olympic physician, Mr. Larry Nassar, was stabbed in jail. And that was the first piece of news that I woke up to like maybe a week ago. And honestly, I love good news. I love good news because men like that deserve every piece of what they got coming to them in jail. Because if you don't know who Larry Nassar is, he was pretty much the physician of Olympic gymnast. Like Simone Biles, she was one of his victims. And we see that she's still killing it and still being great right now. So she didn't let this man and his perversion stop her from being who she is, as well as a lot of other gymnasts did as well. And I know that's absolute justice for them. But I was a little disappointed, I'm not gonna lie. I was a little disappointed when I found out he was stable. I'm like, okay, yeah, I get that you're gonna stab this man. For whatever reason that you had, it don't even matter. As long as somebody got to him and caused him some sort of bodily harm and or damage. And I'm sure the next time somebody gets their hands on him, it's gonna be way worse than this. And just knowing what he did to those young ladies, you know what I'm saying? Like, you can't help but smile when you think of this man getting shanked in prison. I'm like, listen, I know they probably had to move him to out of general population if they even had him in there, because there are some inmates who are about that life, and they cannot stand any man that touches little girls, or children for that matter. Because they might be hardcore criminals, but there are men in there who have kids, do something for their kids. So to see this man just walking free around the prison and no one is gonna touch him, oh no, absolutely not. He's gonna get way worse. He might be recovering from stab wounds right now, but I honestly would not be surprised if in another couple of months or so, or maybe even sooner than that, he's really gonna get what's coming to him. Because yeah, you can stab him. You know what I'm saying? You can stab him, okay, you can be done with him. But there's gonna be that one prisoner who's gonna get his entire life on torturing that man and making him feel every bit of pain and fear that those young ladies did. And so I hope that's what happens to him. I really fucking do. Also, I gotta talk about this as well. I have a newfound love and passion again for the women's sport. I told you I was gonna start getting more into the WNBA, and I'm keeping my word as best I can for you guys. And I watched the WNBA All-Star Game. I didn't get a chance to watch the 3-point contest or the skills challenge. I know the Aces won the skills challenge, and one of the ladies from the New York Liberty won the 3-point contest. I know it wasn't Breanna Stewart. It wasn't Vanderloot either. Shit, can't pronounce her name either, but anyway. The All-Star Game was nothing short of fun. And I had the same joy that I watched the NBA All-Star Game with, but this one was a little bit more special. Because obviously it was in Vegas, so you gotta turn up for Vegas. And Breanna Stewart's team ended up winning by like 20 points over Asia Wilson's team. But the overall feel was cool. The game was fast-paced. And also, Brittany Griner came back. And to see her play with the same joy that she did when she was a rookie, like it made her appreciate the game more. You know what I'm saying? Like, when you get back, when you've been away from something that you've loved all your life, something that you're passionate about all your life, once you get a taste of being back in that spotlight where you're the most comfortable, you can't help but feel joy. You know what I'm saying? Because you, like, you're getting paid to do what you love to do. And she got a dunk in. So to see her back was nothing short of heartwarming. And the ladies wrote for her last season. Like, all the ladies in the WNBA, they wrote hard for Britney. They supported Britney. They prayed for Britney. They loved Britney through all of that shit she went through in Russia. So to see her back, of course, as a basketball fan, you can't help but feel, but to feel happy for her. Also, Miss Jewel Lloyd broke the scoring record. I believe she had 31 points. And that record was set by Miss Shoni Schimmel back in 2014. And I just watched that All-Star game a couple of weeks ago as well. The 2014 All-Star game. And Jewel Lloyd got the MVP. I thought it was going to be Asia or maybe even Breanna Stewart. But Miss Lloyd got it. And I'm such a fucking groupie for the WNBA right now. It's not even funny because any NBA team that has won the championship, I've been genuinely happy for. Because it's like, yo, I love that for you. You know what I'm saying? Like, I can respect the Houston Comets. I can absolutely love the Los Angeles Sparks because of Lisa Leslie. And every other team that preceded them. And the best way for me to learn about the current WNBA is to look back in the past. Because a lot of things will make a hell of a lot of sense. Especially when it comes to certain players. Like, perfect example, Miss Becky Hammon, the Las Vegas Aces coach. If you don't know, she will be inducted into the Basketball Hall of Fame later on this year. And I'm so proud of Becky. Because as a player, she was a former All-Star and she was a dog when she played for the New York Liberty. So I'm like, I love to see former players getting their shine that they deserve, period, as a coach and as a player, because Becky Hammon was nothing to play with. Like, she was the, let's see, she was the Breanna Stewart of her day, okay? Of course, you had Teaspoon there, you know what I'm saying, to be the heart of the team. But Becky Hammon was the three-point specialist, so she was the Breanna Stewart of her time, if that makes any sense. So to see her getting her flowers, leading the Aces to another winning season, like, I believe they're like, shit, 19-2 or something like that. And I see them repeating. I absolutely see Las Vegas repeating because I called it last year and I'm calling it again this year. The Las Vegas Aces will definitely win the championship. And speaking of winning, Miss Sha'Carri Richardson has been on a tear. I believe the last couple of races she's won, I believe it was like, we'll say about three races, she's been laser focused. Like, you can tell there's a hunger in her eyes that wasn't there last year because she was going through her struggles, you know what I'm saying, with personal problems, the marijuana thing, then losing her mother, I believe, which is enough to take a blow out of anybody. Anybody would be distracted from their ultimate goal while they're going through personal shit. And it was all fun and games. It was all laughs when she was losing. But I'm gonna need y'all to keep the same fucking energy that you had when she was losing. The same ones who were having those dry ass laughs at her expense and talking about how the Jamaicans smoked her. I'm gonna need y'all to be just as fucking loud when she crosses the finish line in first place. I haven't seen too many posts. I shared one of the last races she had like two or three days ago. And honestly, she has two more Jamaicans to beat. She already beat the fastest woman in the world, okay? And she has two more Jamaicans to beat, I believe. So it's like, either way, even if she wins and or loses, people are not going to be satisfied. But she is coming back to get everything that's owed to her. Especially when people have so much to say about her struggles and her losing. It's easy to talk shit about somebody when they losing. But you better be just as fucking loud when she's winning. Give her the same respect that you gave her when she first started becoming a sensation. Before everyone found out about the marijuana situation and all this other shit, talking about her being too arrogant, when she learned how to tune y'all out and find her center, that's when she started to win. And I couldn't be more happy for it because I absolutely support my black athletes, especially black women, because this is already a male-dominated field as it is, sports in general. So for you to come out there and kill it as a black woman, I'm here for it. I'm absolutely here for it. And I hope the next race she takes. I hope she takes the next fucking race because she wants that gold. And I hope like a motherfucker that she gets it. And speaking of black women, Miss Naomi Fatu, I'm sorry, Trinity Fatu, wins the TNA women's belt. And this makes her the very first black woman to hold the WWE and the TNA women's titles. And of course, black wrestlers don't get their just due. They really don't. Because we all know that some of these, well, I'm sorry, let me not say some of these. Most of these wrestling promotions are always looking for the Great White Hope. So when a black woman comes in who was underappreciated, because Trinity could always wrestle her ass off. Let's not get it twisted. She could always wrestle her ass off. She had the potential to be the Divas Champion, and she was. I'm at WrestleMania at that. So to see her get it over in TNA and she's doing her thing over there, I couldn't be happier for her. You know, because she was one of those wrestlers that was underrated. Like, they did X amount of stuff with her. Like, they gave her the tag belt. You know what I'm saying? And that's cool. It's cool. You give it a women's belt. That's cool as well. But I'm like, you only can reach a certain plateau as a woman in any wrestling promotion, especially in WWE. Also, I got to give love to Natty because I think she got inducted into the, what was it? Guinness Book of World Records for having the most WWE matches in the women's division. And I'm like, Natty is a person, she deserves all the credit in the world as well, because she is another one who wrestles her ass off, and she learned from the damn best. Her family is the Hart family, for God's sakes. So she put in her work and paid her dues, and I'm happy to see her getting her flowers along with Miss Trinity. So congratulations to Trinity. Keep killing it. We absolutely love to see it. Let's see what else we got here. Oh, let's get into some NBA news. So Damian Lillard wants a trade. Finally. It took you 13 years to really see Portland for who they truly are. And they're not trying to build around you because they're used to failing. After the 1977 championship, the Portland Trail Blazers have had some success, but not the ultimate success. Let's go down the line real quick. So, the guy who was drafted before Michael Jordan, Mr. Sam Bowie, was injury prone. They get Clyde Drexler. They build a contender around Clyde Drexler. They go to two NBA finals in Detroit and Chicago. They lose both. They trade Clyde Drexler away. They get Rasheed Wallace. They build the team with him, J.R. Ryder, Kenny Anderson, Arvydas Sabonis. And then as time goes on, more players come in like Scottie Pippen, Steve Smith, Damon Stoudemire. I'm literally just throwing names off the top of my head right now because I'm like, I know the rosters, but I can't really think of them right now. You have all these good players here. You get to the conference finals versus the Lakers. You blow a 15-point lead. And the Lakers go on to the finals and to win the championship. I had to throw that in there as well. Okay, you sit down for a little bit. Then you get Brandon Roy. Great potential player. And I used to love watching B-Roy play back in the day. His injuries kept fucking him up. Greg Oden. Injuries. Then you get Damian Lillard. And you have a chance to make some noise in the playoffs and possibly win a championship. But management has it set in their mind not to build around this man. You'll pay him a max contract to keep him there for X amount of years. Okay, no problem. But what are you going to do with the rest of the team? Because you can have him as your centerpiece. But if you don't build around him and give him the pieces that he needs, It's never gonna end well. And it took this long for Damian Lillard to see that, because he wanted to be the one that was loyal to his team that drafted him and all this other stuff, which sounds all good and well and loyal. But you see that when you go elsewhere, you have a better chance of winning. And even though Damian Lillard can still go, he can still play, he is past his prime now. And it's going to take a hell of a lot of thinking, because they said he's probably going to hold out if they don't trade him. I'm like, I believe the Blazers said it wasn't possible to trade him, but if he pretty much sits out for the season, it's going to be like, well, what the fuck are you going to do? I'm like, your star player is sitting out. You got to do something with him. You know what I'm saying? But also, I forgot to say this. With the NBA free agency being the way it is, the only move that I can really think of, and it's a last gasp for me, Mr. State Farm himself, Chris Paul, is now with the Warriors. And like I said, I don't have anything against Golden State. I really don't, because Steph is one of my favorite players. I love Klay as well. But the clock has been ticking on that dynasty for the last couple of years now. Yes, they won a championship like less than, let's see, less than 2 years ago. But it always comes a time in a franchise where you have your core players there and you build around them. But it's really just a last gasp effort to get Chris Paul a ring. And this is pretty much do or die time. Because I've seen moves like this happen before. Karl Malone going to the Lakers, last gasp effort to win the championship. They got swept. They lost in 5 games, and Karl retired without a ring. Patrick Ewing, he got to the finals one time in his career. He leaves New York in a painful way without a championship. Charles Barkley, no championship. John Stockton, no championship. Like, we can literally go down the line of players who literally wanted to win a championship. But the difference is John Stockton didn't leave Utah, but that's beside the point. I was shocked that this move was even made for real. Because even Chris Paul is still a player that can still do his thing. He can still be the point guard, still distribute the ball, still score whenever he wants to. But at the end of the day, I don't see him winning his championship. I'm sorry. Unless the Warriors can actually make a push and not fizzle out like they did this year in the playoffs, they might have a chance in winning. They really might. Hopefully, everybody will stay healthy. Hopefully, Dre will stay healthy. Hopefully, Klay will stay healthy. Hopefully, Steph will stay healthy. But I don't see Chris Paul winning a championship. I'm sorry. Y'all could call me whatever you want to, but that's just how I feel about it. And that was probably the biggest free agency move that I can really think of. I didn't even write this down. And the Summer League just wrapped up. And I paid attention a little here and there, but I've seen something that kind of made me happy. And the Summer League Lakers beat the Summer League Clippers. And I expected more out of this Summer League team than I actually expected from the actual damn Lakers. And that's fucking sad. But as long as they beat the damn Clippers, that's all I give a fuck about. Oh. Since we're on the subject of damn Lakers, we have someone having another number change. He's going back to 23. What the fuck is that supposed to mean exactly? You're changing your number again. This is the second time you changed your number. And what is this really gonna do with this stage? Like, what is it gonna do? Are you gonna go back into your bag and pull out Super LeBron and put that on your chest and everything will be back to the way it was? If you think that, then you a damn fool. That time has passed. And people can keep saying, he's 39, he's 40, he's 41. Are you gonna make him a year older every time he does something good in the game? Like, seriously. I don't even know why this was world news, because I'm like, it was news when he changed his number back from 23 to 6. But, it always has to be an event, and it always has to be melodramatic when he does anything. You change your number back to 23. Okay, whatever. Please hurry up and leave, because at this point, I am sick of his theatrics. I'm sick of his damn attitude. I'm sick of his stand base. And at this point, I just want him out. Because I'm like, you've literally overstayed your contract. You signed for 2 more years. This is your last year. And I hate to say this, but this NBA season needs to get here. The faster the season gets here and leaves, the faster he leaves. So, for the love of God, do what you do. Be Kang. Choke more games away. Shoot more air balls. And yes, I'm a hater. So this is absolutely nothing new to me. Shoot your air balls. Miss your foul shots. Also, this ties in to my next point. The NBA has approved 2 new rules. So if Leahy flops, that will result in a technical foul plus a foul shot. That should have been done for years now, because dudes have made too much of a habit of flopping at this point. And it's like, why are you moving or having a reaction when somebody didn't even graze you? So James Harden is going to be racking up a lot of those. Leahy's going to be racking up a lot of those. So it's going to be a lot of free fucking points because of all their flopping alone. Also, the second rule is coaches will get a second challenge if the first one is successful. And honestly, I hope that they don't abuse the hell out of these rules. Because we know that when new rules come into the game, you have to get used to them. Because you're used to the game being played the way it's always been played. But when new rules are invoked, you're like, okay. You know what I'm saying? Like, you're not used to that. So, I don't even know why they have challenges in the NBA now, because, well, I guess I do see why, because there are plays that are a little bit questionable at times, you know, where you have to see if a player made a shot at the buzzer or see where someone's foot is if they stepped on the line, either backcourt, out of bounds. Like, anything can happen. Okay, so I don't know if it's going to be good for the game yet, because the season obviously hasn't started, but we'll definitely see. Also, we have to get into some NFL stuff. So, we have Mr. Saquon Barkley has not reached a long-term agreement with the Giants, and Zeke is not expected to return to Dallas. And what do these two players have in common? Both of them are running backs. Both of them are the centerpieces for their team's offense. And one thing that the Giants and the Cowboys of all teams have in common, or just NFL teams in period, they don't want to pay their running backs. And I have a question as to why. Because you can easily pay Josh Allen X amount of dollars and franchise tag him. You can give a defensive player, like a defensive back, safety, whatever, whatever, you can give them a max contract and franchise tag them. But you cannot pass the damn ball all the time. You obviously got to have some sort of running plays to be unpredictable and keep the other team on their toes. So the value of the running back in the NFL has dwindled a great deal. And it's sad to see, because these guys bust their asses to be the best running backs they can be, from a high school level to college to the pros. They don't run their asses off just to receive a low ball offer. Like, that's insulting if you are Saquon Barkley or Ezekiel Elliott. Because these guys literally killed it. Especially Zeke. I've been watching him since he was in school as an OSU fan. And knowing that the work he puts in, or the work he put in for Dallas in his time there, you're gonna be stupid if you let him walk because you didn't want to pay him. And Uncle Jerry more than enough has the money to pay Zeke. You just don't want to. As does the Giants. Because Derek, I seen a tweet from Derrick Henry, like maybe an hour ago or so. And he pretty much said the same thing that I did. It's like running backs are very underappreciated, and it's a sad thing because I love the running back position myself. That's the first position in football that I actually came to love. When I first started playing Madden, and I started to learn the different positions of players and stuff like that, the running back is where I shine the most. And that's the position that I love. So to see the running backs in the NFL get this type of treatment from their managers, I'm sorry, general managers, it's like, what do you expect them to do? Like, you expect them to go out there for chump change, run their asses off, get you yards, get you wins, and rack up your team's morale. But at the same time, if you're not paying him what he's worth, then what the hell are they doing it for? Like, it doesn't make any sense to me. Because if you have a running back, say, like, I'm gonna pull somebody out of the hat. Let's say Saquon Barkley. Oh, Nick Chubb. He's on the Browns. Let's say the Browns lowballed him and pretty much gave him like a little menial contract because they didn't want to pay him. As much as Nick Chubb runs his ass off of the Browns, do you really think he's gonna sit up there and run for fucking minimum wage in the NFL standards? Absolutely not. And he shouldn't have to. I'm like, if I'm giving you my all, game after game after game, in practice sessions, in scrimmages, in any game that I'm on the field, I should be getting paid every cent of what I'm worth. Like, that's just how I feel. Like, the quarterbacks can get paid. Menial quarterbacks get paid more than running backs, I'm sure. You know what I'm saying? And there are guys that get paid to sit on the bench or whatever and only go in when they're actually needed or there's a substitution or whatever. But listen, the running back value has dwindled a great deal. And that's something that needs to be addressed within the NFL. Because once you have guys just not giving their all, and they're supposed to be the star running back of your team, you're going to look like the ass in the end. Not them, because you're not paying them. So it's a fair exchange. You give me my money, I give you my talent. Point blank, period. And that's how it fucking should be. Let's see, what else do we have to talk about? Or is that it? Because I ran my mouth. Shit, 5 minutes, my ass. 27 minutes going on 28 minutes. And you definitely got a show for me today because I haven't done one in a minute. So, to you guys that listen and keep listening to my shows, I thank you guys so much from the bottom of my heart. I love you guys so much. And I'm going to get my ass out of here. Please follow me, DB Dangerous, on Instagram and Twitter. Also, follow Dangerous Sports Talk, the Facebook page, and follow this very podcast you're listening to right now on Spotify, wherever podcasts are available. And I'm going to get this show up before people lose their damn minds. I'm out of here. Peace.